CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with Jonty Searle, and Tamara is with us from Israel. Are you? Yes.
No? Yes, 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 yes.
How are you?
I'm good, my love. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Are you having a good time?
I am. Thank you very much. Not as much fun as I could have right now, but yes, family is wonderful. Thank you.
Good. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun here this morning.
Ah, it sounds like it.
It is indeed. So we've got a really cool friend in the studio, Trevor Harris. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Jonty.
That's really cool that you came. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
So if you come, do not leave a mess on the carpet. That's the only rule here. You can do anything you like as long as it doesn't stain anywhere. So we're talking about...
Yeah, that's a rule.
Because we're going to do a squirting show quite soon, like a live squirting show. We have to cover the whole studio in plastic.
I think that's a requirement.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Sex Talk, unradio, unscripted, and most definitely this morning, uncensored. So WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. We're on Twitter, we're on WeChat, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on everything we can be on. We are on. So let us do this.
Ninja Sex, Chocolate Starfish, Twitter Bag, Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
philematology.
Dirty dictionary word.
Philematology. Any ideas?
Not a clue. I've never heard of the word.
So come on, you got to take a guess. Philematology.
Is it related to chocolate starfishes?
No, well, in a very distant kind of way.
Sure.
It would be a real stretch. That wasn't a pun.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. No, that was not a pun on chocolate starfish.
Or on stretches.
Or on stretches.
Yeah. Stretching the chocolate starfish. It's one of our favorite topics.
I'm sure. I think there are a lot of people that just got excited at that thought.
Absolutely. Tamar, any idea? Philematology.
No, Jonty. No, it's something that you like, and it's something with maybe some kind of knowledge. Maybe you like people that are smart or... people that know something.
It's people that know something, definitely, but it's nowhere near what you guys think it is.
Okay.
So, message us what you think philematology is. We'll come back to that one at the end of the show, 079-748-2090. And I have to tell you, we went to a meeting yesterday at the Sandton Convention Center. It was the first Sexpo meeting, and I think it is going to be
so
amazing
important.
And huge and exciting.
Oh, so. Jonty, it sounds like, you know, our mothers just would have been proud. You know, I went to the Sandton Convention Center and, you know, Sexpo is happening there. So isn't it just grand?
Well, it really looks fantastic. I think it's going to be really, really exciting. So
cool.
Join us there from the 22nd of March. We will be there. Mm. Yes.
Lovely.
And it beats traveling to Nazareth.
Absolutely. It does indeed. And you can come on the Gout train.
Yeah.
Don't leave bodily fluids on the car train either.
They might just arrest you.
They might just.
But you might just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you're into handcuffs, yes.
Definitely. So, Trevor, you come to talk about a few different things, and I think we're going to have a really cool discussion because we were talking beforehand and we were talking a little bit about sexual energy and stuff, which is really, really cool.
Yes.
But let's start with that, yeah, these man parties, Mantopia.
Yes.
Where did they start?
Jonty, they started about a year ago, just over a year ago. And we identified, I'm part of a swingers club, and we identified that there was definitely a market for, or a place where people could go, men could go, to meet other men and in a safe environment and actually just have fun.
Okay.
So we started the parties, and they grew steadily, and we've got a regular following now. And yeah, the guys are, there's some absolute amazing guys that come there. It's open to gay and bi men. We've even had some straight men come in there just out of curiosity. And they've all said the same thing. It's just a really good environment where people can come, explore their sexuality, have a few drinks, and play in an environment that is safe and consensual.
Okay. How often do these parties happen?
At the moment, once a month.
Yeah.
That's really limited due to venue. But the intention is going forward from this month, March, we intend to have them at least twice a month.
Okay. So there's quite a need, obviously.
There is a need, yes. You know, the thing is, we just get the parties going, we develop a hype and a following, and then that falls flat because it's just too much time between each party.
Yeah.
So the idea is then they will have it sort of, let's say, every 2 weeks.
So there's a momentum.
There's a momentum that gets built up as a result of that.
Okay, interesting. And who comes to the parties? Like, what's the age range? Let's start with that.
Look, it's very mixed. I'd probably say late 20s, 30s, upwards to 50, thereabouts. Some, obviously, the extremes in that, but if you had to put a bell curve, that I would say.
Okay.
And very mixed. Some bears, some non-bears.
Okay, cross-section. So go back a step.
Yes.
What are the bears?
The bears are the guys that, if you had to picture, you know, beard, hairy, that type of thing, that would be a bear.
Okay.
So if you imagine a grizzly bear in the woods, it's like some body part shaved, I think you get a good picture.
Those are the bears.
Exactly.
Okay. And the bear cubs are?
Oh, they cubs that are not quite bears yet. Some of them might be in training with a bear or under their protection, but
they're getting there.
They're getting there. They're in the, on the road there.
So this covers the spectrum of men, full stop.
Correct, it does.
Okay. And there's an interesting trend happening, and I'm curious if this happens at the parties, that a lot of straight men or men who identify as straight, and as much as we want to get away from the idea of the labels of sex,
yes,
a lot of people identify with the labels.
That's true.
So a lot of men who identify as straight are having sex with other men.
Yes.
And they're not considering themselves gay in any way. They're not even considering themselves bisexual. They're just straight men having sex with other men. Does this happen at the parties? Do you have...
It does. You know, I'm involved in, obviously, the swingers parties as well. And I have noticed that. I think there is definitely, call it an incorrect label association that happens. And I think that happens across the board. And I think the world is moving to almost a non-term-based sexual experience. And, you know, we've seen it. I know of plenty of men who, if you had to meet them, they are straight, married, in a relationship, yet they have sex with other men. And they enjoy it. And the interesting thing is that the women actually enjoy seeing the men doing that.
So are women allowed at the parties?
Not at the men's parties, no.
Just men?
Yes, just men. Okay. I've even had to change the staff so that there are no cleaners who are female at all.
Okay, so you've really kind of created an all-male environment, and that creates a safety for a lot of men.
It does. You know, I think a lot of the men that I've spoken to, you know, they've never been with a woman. They have no intention to be with a woman. And it feels strange for them, you know, that they're not sure how to interact with that. And we respect that. So we've created that environment where they don't have to step out of the norms. They're comfortable being with other men, and that's what it is.
Yeah. You know, we do tomorrow. I just have to kind of digress. It sounds like you're actually kind of doing something sexual all by yourself there from some of the noises you're making.
Well, I'm actually listening to it, and it turns me on, the idea that, you know, only men are allowed there, and, you know, it's kind of like the forbidden fruit. All of a sudden, we're like, no, we want to go to those parties. Yeah. I'm sure it's much more interesting than, you know, maybe just men and women parties.
Okay.
But tomorrow, so, I think you're onto something. I mean, I know quite a few friends of mine who, you know, they I say that I'm going to Mantopia party, and they're like, oh, we're so jealous. I'm like, why? What are you jealous about?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you're the host. You get to kiss all the men when they come through and you see the talent.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing, because a lot of men, as a generalization, a lot of straight men get turned on by watching two women.
They do.
So that's like top, for most men, that's almost their top fantasy.
That is. That's their ideal fantasy.
What would be your fan? Two women or a threesome with two women, and that's the thing. I always make a joke because I say most men can't really satisfy one woman fully, so how are you going to satisfy two?
True.
Which is its own other little story. But interesting thing is, how many women get turned on by watching men have sex. So also message us and let us know, because it's an interesting thing.
Look, it is. Janti, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I've spoken to quite a few people who are in a relationship, and for them, they've all asked me and said, please can I find another guy for them? Mm. And it's purely because they want to see their partner with another man. Mm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be any penetrative sex or anything like that. But just the thought of it and the idea behind it, it just really turns them on. It really arouses them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And are people under any pressure to have sex at the parties?
No, there's no pressure to have sex. It's really just an environment where they can talk to other guys in an environment. If you had to walk in, it would look like any other bar. The only difference is that there are rooms at the back where people can play should they want to and should it be consensual.
So like in a public space, there's no nudity?
In the bar, they can wear whatever they want.
So they could be nude if they want to?
Yes, in the environment they can be nude. And the only requirement that we've got is, based on feedback that we had, is that the play areas are a towel or nothing zones. Mm. Which is just respectful for everyone, then everyone's
absolutely
on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really, really important. Okay. So now we need to get a little bit personal, because you play for every team going.
Why limit your odds? That's why.
Absolutely. And that's really an amazing thing. So Eric Janssen has just joined us, and we are about to expand Eric's education quite radically this morning. Let's put a mic on for you, Eric.
Can you turn me up in the headphones? Ah, that's me. Hey.
There we go.
What's happening?
Yes. So we're talking about man parties first.
Okay, I'm out.
Peace. Eric's leaving.
I'm here. Would you go to a man party?
Bye, Eric.
No, I'm still here. No, I wouldn't. I would, but I'd leave early.
You'd leave early.
Like, that'd be me. Okay. I'd make sure I get a good meal and like a couple of drinks, and then I'd be like, guys, this is fun, but I have to go water my daughters, and I'd vibe.
That just sounds wrong when he said that.
Yeah. And when
it did? Did it? Really? Sorry.
And when the action started, you'd leave.
Yeah, no, as soon as I see shirts coming off, I'm like, I'm going home. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Because, you know, there's an amazing thing that I read an interview once with one of the top female porn stars. And she said she could never love a woman the way that she loves a man.
Okay.
But when it comes to pleasure, she doesn't care who's down there as long as they know what they're doing.
Okay. That's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Don't you? I always say, and just something to consider, Eric. I always say, if you imagine that you're in a dark room,
I wouldn't. I know where this is going. No. Mm-mm. Okay, but carry on. It's cool. Yeah, dark room, me,
okay,
imagining.
So, and your sense of sight is restricted, your sense of hearing is restricted. Okay? Someone touches you.
So it
doesn't have to be sexually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're getting punched, though.
Like, you don't know if it's male or female.
Okay. Mm.
So in that moment, you're relying on what your body is giving feedback.
Yeah. That's
and
true.
Whether that you get aroused or not, that differentiates whether there's a sexual attraction or not.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
So it's just a different way of looking at it.
No. I understand.
So you could allow for that.
No, I'm not going to allow for things. Don't paint pictures in my mind that don't need to be there, John. Gee whiz, please.
Well, I told you we're about
Let's start slow. Yeah, expanding slowly.
Thank you. Gee whiz.
Okay.
He says open to the idea of a dark room.
Yeah, no, guys, don't say I'm open for things. Like I told you, when I come into the show, everything you guys say has a sexual connotation. Saying I'm open for things.
Well, why do you think the show is called Sex Talk?
Okay, I'm just going to sit here and listen. That's going to be
there we
enough.
Go.
Yeah.
Okay. When did you find out your attraction to men and women? How did that, where was that born?
I think it's always been. I think when I was very young, I probably denied it based on society pressure, other people's opinions. And I think I remember as part of a teenager, I had like my first experience with another boy and I enjoyed it. But I didn't think anything of it until years later.
Mm.
And it was probably when I was, without giving age away, probably in my 30s that I had my first experience. And it was really enjoyable. I didn't see anything wrong with it. And I just basically took it from there.
Mm. Were you in your current relationship?
No.
When that happened?
No.
Okay. How did you bring that up in your relationship?
In our current relationship?
Yeah.
We've always felt that there's a connection between us, my current partner and myself. Mm. She is female and she's also bi. And I think from the beginning, when we were discussing it, we were talking about swingers clubs, we were talking about same-sex experience and that type of thing. And nothing I said shocked her. And for me, that was a first. Like everything I said, she said, yes, and? I'm like, okay, well, I've got nothing now. So, and we started chatting. And yeah, I'd always wanted to go to a swingers club. It was something that I wanted to experience. Mm. And went with her. And it was just absolutely amazing. It was so liberating for me to be in an environment that there was no judgment. Mm. You could do what you wanted. There's rules in terms of engagement and that type of thing. And yeah, I think from that time, it was just something that I just fell in love with. It became part of my life.
Because the straight swingers, a lot of the straight swinging men are very nervous about any other male sexual contact.
They are
a lot of that.
Sure, yes.
They are. Look, I've had a very interesting experience throughout the time I've been at the swingers club. I've been going for 3 years now, thereabouts, to actual swingers clubs. And it's amazing to see the difference. Because the people are used to me now, I can express myself differently. Mm. So I often dress up in full drag. And it's quite amazing to see the reactions, because the guys' reactions, especially the new people, they always say, like, how does Trevor get all the girls? It's just bizarre. They can't connect it, and they don't understand that it's about being comfortable with who you are. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that I'm so comfortable with who I am. It's not an issue anymore. And before, I always used to put that part of me aside. And I think that's why the relationships in the past didn't work, because I was always casting out a part of me that in order to please the other person, but it was never working.
Yeah. So you need to really be authentic.
You need to be authentic.
And that's when relationships do
work.
That's
when relationships work, 100%.
Yeah. Would you go to a swingers club, Eric?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. Like if we invited you, for example.
No. Not if you guys invited me. Shit. No, I'm fine. Because I see you guys every Friday.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to be weird. It's like seeing my teacher at the mall when I was in school. Yeah. I couldn't get over it. I'm like, you go to the mall. Yeah. Like you do normal human things.
But they are normal people.
Just think this is a good intro to
No, thank
party.
You. No.
It's on a Friday night.
No. I work on Fridays. Thank Jesus. No.
If we sent you off on your own, you'd go?
Yeah, I'd go.
And you'd come back and tell us about it?
I would. I'd report back, yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
So we're going to hold you to that.
Shit. Okay, yeah.
We're going to hold you to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to go get some good disguises tomorrow.
Yes, I believe we will.
Yeah, we'll be.
I believe we will have.
We'll be in the corner in the dark room.
I'm not so sure I want to see Eric in a sex club. If I can say my opinion, I think it's going to be the first few times are going to be a bit awkward.
Yeah. Why?
So Because I think Trevor maybe will agree with me. It's all very funny and it's all very cool. But once you get there, you confront so many deep demons inside of you. It's like who you are in that environment. What is it that you want? I think people come to sex clubs or to all kind of journeys, exploration journeys. They come with masks and we have to take off our masks. Yeah. So it takes time to acknowledge, to explore, to also get to know who the fuck you are, literally.
It does. And you know, we're running a retreat up in Mozambique in March. Which, by the way, there are only two places left, which is really, really awesome.
What date is that?
From the 30th of March.
Isn't that Sexpo weekend?
No, it's just after.
Just after, okay.
Like we finished Sexpo on the Saturday and we're leaving on the Tuesday
okay.
for Mars, which is fantastic. But the title of the retreat is Your Sexual Story. And the idea is that most of us, the story that we have, firstly, it's not ours. It's from our parents, it's from religion, it's from so many different social institutions, the ideas that we had, that we grew up with about sex. And then it's, for a lot of people, it's a story of guilt and shame and embarrassment and withholding. And the retreat is about moving into a story of pleasure, of celebration, of authenticity of who we are. And in this is the fullness and the authenticity of our lives, of our hearts, of our spirits. It's not just our sexuality in this little box that we take out under very specific circumstances and we use and then we put it away again. Because it's attached to every single part of who we are. So the things that you are involved in and that you express are the fullness of you.
Yeah, Johnny, I think you're right. I think we've spoken, I think the key word this morning has been authenticity.
Yeah.
And it's about being authentic to ourselves. Mm. I mean, if we can't look in the mirror and embrace all those aspects of ourselves, how can we ever
expect to be
able to pleasure someone else or to allow ourselves to be pleasured by the other person?
Yeah.
Because you might be worried that if that person does A, B, C, or touches
you
somewhere.
Oh, am I going to react to it? Yeah.
You're going to react it, and you're going to either go off the handle or not, and you don't know where that's coming from. Yeah. So often it's something that's been suppressed or repressed for so long. And that's why often when you engage with people, especially let's say in a lifestyle type environment or in a men only environment, that's why buttons get pushed, because it's something that you've hidden for so long. Something happens and you think, shit, what do I do with this?
And that's where it's so important to have people to talk to have some avenues of sexual healing that can allow you to integrate these into yourself. Because I remember on my journey, which started when I was pretty young, and I went and had a whole lot of experiences, and I didn't have anybody to talk to about them. And you wake up the next morning and you think, fuck, who am I? What have I done? That you need to integrate them, and they need to be put in a context of your heart, of your mind. And that's where you find the peace of who you are.
Yeah. You know, John, it's so true. You know, we've noticed, or I've noticed as well, myself and my partner, that we engage with a lot of people who are, let's say, new to the lifestyle, whether they're new to the men's only parties or the lifestyle parties. And we always say to them, you've got to take it slowly. You've got to take it one day at a time. And John and I were talking about before the show, and the biggest thing about any relationship, and we can't talk enough about it, is communication.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to talk about how you feel about it. If someone says something to you, how do you react? You know, are you okay with it? Whenever you go, we're talking about you possibly joining at a swingers party.
Yeah, yeah.
Be clear on what you want. What's a no-go area for you?
Mm-hmm.
If you go with a partner, what's a no-go area for her? Is it okay for a guy to approach her and talk to her? Or are you going to get jealous?
Yeah.
The same with you. If a woman comes to talk to you, is she going to get jealous? How are you going to handle that?
Yeah.
And the communication is almost the thing that is the intimacy in that relationship.
Somebody contacted me on Sunday and phoned, and she said she'd been invited to a swingers party. She was really excited, and she was as nervous as she was excited.
Naturally.
So she wanted some advice, and she actually wanted somebody to tell her yes or no. And I said, well, I'm not the right person to tell you yes or no. I will tell you this. The opportunities that it offers are amazing in terms of exploring aspects of yourself, whether you do anything there sexually or not, because you sit and you observe yourself.
Yeah.
So she said, well, she's really nervous about watching people have sex because what happens if she gets embarrassed? I said, well, if you get embarrassed, then understand that the embarrassment is yours. The other people are probably not going to be aware of that. And if they're doing what they enjoy doing, they probably don't really care too much anyway. So that's about you. The other thing is that you don't ever have to do anything. And I said, ask the people who invited you, do I have to do anything, and is there going to be an oppression? If they say anything other than no, then don't go.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you walk in, you don't do anything. Just watch and observe yourself, and then walk out and be aware of the thoughts and the feelings, the emotions that you experience. Because that's the journey into yourself. And it's one of the purposes of our sexuality. It's the most amazing tool and avenue to explore ourselves, to take us to the different parts of ourselves. Can you be submissive? Can you be dominant? How open can you be about who you are?
Oh, that's right. You know, there's numerous people, and we always say to people that ask us questions about any of the parties, you know, it's what you feel comfortable with. You don't have to do anything. You can sit at the bar, have a drink, and just watch people. And just that environment of being able to watch other people, how comfortable they are, allows, like you say, it opens that avenue for yourself to explore it.
Yeah. And even to go back to the idea of an all-male party, we've forgotten as men how to interact with other men, firstly on an emotional level, secondly on a sensual level that has nothing to do with sex.
True.
But we've forgotten how to connect with other men in ways that are often not about sports, that are not about business, that are not about politics, that are not centered around a drink in a bar. It's one man having a conversation with another or a group of men. And it might involve some sensual touch. And we've forgotten that the touch of a man is so different to the touch of a woman.
No, that's true. You know, like I said, you know, it's a person's choice at the men's only party if they want to, you know, wear a towel or anything. And I can tell you now that by 11, 12 o'clock, every one of the guys is walking around with a towel. Those inhibitions that they had about the clothes and that type of thing, they actually lose that. and they can actually start engaging mm-hmm. with people. You know, they'll touch each other, hug each other. There's not necessarily a sexual thing, because that's obviously something between the people that they need to decide if they want to or not. But, I think it's 100% right.
You know, we do an event called Water Flow Massage, which is an indoor heated pool. The lights are very low.
It's not water sports.
No.
Okay.
Not water sports.
There's no ball involved. No ball whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. No. Do you know what water sports are, Eric?
Few balls.
Eric, do you know what water sports are?
No. Oh, no. Wait. Wow. Yeah, I ran into this without thinking. I was like, shit.
You did.
Talk.
You
damn it.
You don't open the door okay. for that.
Explain,
one.
Please. Enlighten me. I'm here.
Okay. So, water sports generally play with urine. Like people who like being peed on, peeing on other people.
Right.
So no requirement for a ball.
You opened the door to that one. Shit. So wide.
No, shit is also something else.
No. Yeah. I'm going to get it and keep it quiet. That's shutting up.
That's called scat play.
I'm not saying it.
Keep it quiet.
I'm here to listen.
Maybe Eric can start an essential massage retreat or something. Why does he have to go to the deep end already, literally?
I'm keeping quiet.
Eric
not saying
just opens
it.
Himself up for
I'm
the deep
saying
end.
Nothing. No.
So we do this thing called the water flow massage, and it's a sensual experience. So there is touch. And when people come on their own, they'll be partnered up with somebody. And according to the numbers, that will sometimes be another man. And for most adult men, it'll be the first time that they've touched another naked man. So it's not a sexual touch, and often it's not even a genital touch, but it will be like a heart-to-heart hug for another man. Or they will very gently massage another man. And that's not, again, it's not genital touch. And for some men, it's one of the scariest things, but it opens the most beautiful doors of connection and intimacy. And then there's a point at which the body that you have or the genitals you have actually are meaningless. And it's one human being to another. And we've lost that.
I agree. I think it's something that sounds awesome. I think a lot more people should actually try it.
I think so too, personally. So the next one is actually on Tuesday night.
Is Eric joining?
Eric?
No.
Yeah. There might be hot chicks.
No. No, I'm fine. I'm cool being dry on land and stuff. I'm happy up here.
I'm not a water person.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm cool.
Yeah.
So not yet.
Hello, Lauren. Not yet. It's so cool that you're listening to us this morning. Lauren's listening to us.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
So we know somebody's listening.
Nah.
Listen, this goes out around the world, which is really awesome. Absolutely. So that's very, very cool. Okay. Now, you've played in the bondage world as well, Trevor.
I have, yes.
Okay. As a dom, as a sub, as a both, as a...
Both. I'm a switch. A
okay.
Like I said, why limit yourself to one thing?
So explain to some of our listeners what a switch is, please. Eric, any clues? It's not the thing on the wall that puts the light on.
No, I know exactly what it is. That's why I'm keeping quiet. Okay. I'm like, I know what this is. I'm fine.
So what's a switch then, Eric?
No. You're the man of the explanation. Go ahead. Don't mind me. Means you can be both. I'm guessing it means you can be both, yeah?
Very good, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very smart, Eric.
Very
not
smart.
Just an idiot.
Not just a pretty not face. Just...
Yeah, so 100% correct, Eric. It's a switch. So someone that will vacillate between a dom and a sub. My personal experience is that I go with the trust. So if that trust element is there, it depends what experience I want to get out of it. Mm. And I suppose it's the same with any play. If you trust the person, you're a lot more willing to go to areas that you wouldn't normally explore.
Sure.
Because you trust that person and you can actually let yourself go.
So then it's more about the energy and the connection than anything else.
And that's almost what I've found that I'm getting myself more involved in, is that energy side. Mm. Because it goes beyond just the physical. You actually start to get to a person, to the deeper aspect of that person.
And that's the power of sexuality, of sensuality, of the energy experiences.
That's not just the physical aspect. Mm.
Was your first bondage experience as a dom, as a sub?
It was as a sub.
Mm. Okay.
So,
and was the dom a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the woman that I generally find that I have experiences with as doms are generally very powerful women.
Mm-hmm.
So in any normal environment, the energy is very masculine. So that's where that strength comes through.
Mm.
Subsequent to that, I have played with male doms, mm-hmm. and the experience has been just as great. So,
isn't it amazing that actually it's not about the male or the female? You're talking about a sexual energy or a dominance. It's beautiful. It's a whole different spectrum of attraction.
Yeah, it is. Right, and that's the thing. It's I found that, and you can see, I could see the impact that has with people that I do plays with. You know, it's not restricted to male, female. I'll give you one example. There was one male. He's straight, and he had a dare to do, and his dare was to kiss another guy.
Okay.
Okay. And he came to me, he says, "You're the only guy that I know I'll do this with." So he said, "Would you do it?" I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He says, and then he looks at me, he says, "You're going to use tongue, aren't you?" So I said, "Of course." He says, "Oh, crap." Subsequent to that, he did the dare. When we see each other, kisses on the lips, no issues. Mm. It doesn't impact his sexuality in terms of him being straight. And it was playful. It was just that element of it. Mm. So I think it's about bringing that aspect into any environment. You know, you make it lighter. People are more engaging and more open to it.
And we forget that. And that's what one of the things that the labels do is they limit our perception and they limit the fun. Because if I'm this or I'm that and I'm not this, then if that pops its head up, then no, I can't go there. And understanding that sex and sensuality are the way we as adults play.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have forgotten that sensuality.
Yeah, and just to be able to be in that and make it fun and make it light and laugh. Because if you really look at it, a lot of sex is absurd.
That is. Have you ever watched two people having sex?
Yeah, you think about the noises that you make and the expressions and the things that you do and the things that don't work. And they're hilarious and so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eric's dying to say something.
No. I wasn't. I was thinking about it, actually. It is very absurd.
Yeah.
And the noises and stuff.
Yeah. If you actually watch yourself or film yourself having sex, it is ridiculous, some of the things that you do.
I think a lot of
people. Yeah, it doesn't look like porn.
Yeah. That's nothing like porn. Not at all. Mm. There was actually a little movie company I heard about in America, and they were going bankrupt. And they started offering people some different packages for sex. So the lowest package was they would set up a camera and some lights. You would walk in, you would do your thing with your partner, yourself, whoever, and you'd walk out and you'd get a tape or a disc. And then the full package they offered was like a full crew, and they'd actually make your own porn movie for you.
Holy shit.
And they started making more money than they did when they were shooting commercials and straight movies, because there was such a market that people really wanted to do this.
Or people just wanted to sleep with each other. Yeah. They'd work together.
That could be as well.
I'm sure that happens often.
But now, you know, we have these amazing technologies of video cameras, of GoPros, of phones, and the amateur market of stuff is enormous, what people are doing and sharing. And that's
sure, true.
Yeah. And it's fascinating what people are doing. I wanted to ask a question, going back to the parties.
Yes.
The kinds of bodies that are there, are they generally kind of the good looking, or is it the spectrum? So is anybody going to feel comfortable?
Spectrum. I can probably count on one hand the people that have got a so-called gym body.
Mm.
And we found that across the board, even at a normal swingers party, it's across the board. Ironically, the people that have got the bodies generally don't go to parties. It's quite strange.
Mm. Mm.
So it does say a lot about their sexuality.
Yeah, but often that's very surface and it's very insecure.
Superficial.
Yeah, because it's always, and often it's based on a comparison to somebody else. There's always somebody who's going to be bigger, better, have bigger boobs or a bigger cock or bigger chest or going to look better. And it's very much an external judgment.
Yes, it is. No, I agree with you.
True.
And it's a very insecure place.
Yeah, it is. And like I say, I mean, there's a broad spectrum. I mean, and the people are actually very comfortable with themselves. That's why I think they feel it's easier to take the clothes off and walk around with a towel, you know.
And that's one thing about that space of the swingers parties, of a lot of the clubs, is the lack of judgment.
It is, definitely.
Everybody is welcome, and there's a possibility for everybody to have the pleasure they're looking for.
Correct. I mean, like I said, I've been going to, let's say, parties itself at venues for 3 years now, just over 3 years. And it's amazing to see the difference. I'm not saying I'm being instrumental in that, but just to see how much more comfortable people are in that environment, whether it's two guys there at a normal swingers party or two girls at a swingers party. There's a lot more comfort now than there was 3 years ago. And for example, if I go there to a party, often people come and say, "We didn't recognize you because I've got clothes on." Mm. Because they used to see me naked. So like, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? Like, no, I'm just chilling.
Yeah, you see then, people like in a shopping mall and say, "I think I know you from somewhere, but I'm not quite
that's
sure."
That's the funniest thing to see.
Yeah, so drop your pants and let's see.
Exactly. Or you recognize someone that is at a shop with their wife and they've been at a party and the wife hasn't been there.
We know lots of stories like that.
Very interesting. Lots.
Yes.
We do indeed. Tomorrow we have heard and been involved in many
words. It's more like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a problem when people are not being honest because there's no authenticity.
No, exactly. And, you know, it's not confined, unfortunately, it's not confined to lifestyle. It's people in general.
It's across the board.
It's across the board.
I mean, that's why so many of the affair sites, you know, that Ashley Madison and things like that do so well.
Yeah.
Because people are looking for stuff that they cannot be authentic in their relationship. Or that's wrong. It's that they think they can't be.
Yes.
And very often, if they put something on the table in the right way, there's often a receptive ear in a space that you thought there might not have been.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, the amount of people that we've spoken to in different environments that they say, oh, they could never discuss it, or their wife's not interested. Well, have you ever tried? Mm. Or they'll say, for example, that it's a single person at the club. So single, and you just start to, you know, within 5 minutes, you can tell that person's not single.
It's not single.
They're in a relationship. Say, well, give me your wife's number. You said that she's playing with consent. Give me a number. Let me contact her. Mm. No.
Yeah.
Then that immediately tells you that there's rubbish. They're lying.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Mm. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Is the swinging scene in South Africa growing? Are more people going to parties? Are more people becoming interested?
I do think it's going through a change. There is a lot more young people that are expressing an interest.
Because that's quite an interesting thing. Because it used to be that generally it was only like over 30s were starting to get more involved.
Correct. I think part of it has to do with the way society is changing. Mm. You know, people are exposed to things a lot younger.
Yeah.
A lot of the times they're maturing younger. They're exposed to things that are forcing them to mature at a younger age. And I think people are looking for that interaction.
You can also find it easier these days. You can just go online and start exploring.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting in a way. And are people coming back to parties, or is it more kind of, I'm experimenting, we've seen, thank you very much, and...
No, we are finding that a lot of the people that used to go to the clubs, let's say three to five years ago, are starting to come back, which is actually quite good to see.
Because relationships also go through cycles, where they're kind of more involved and they play a little bit, and then they go back to themselves. And it's not a hard and fast thing, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the... That's why no party is ever the same, because you've always got different dynamics at the party.
I mean, Trevor, about the dynamic, I wanted to ask you, because from our experience, from Jonty and my experience, when we see a party starting, or let's say a regular joint that hosts parties, if it's swingers parties or whatever the exploration is, we see that the issue is many times to get people out of their skin, getting them out of their comfort zone, getting them to interact, getting them to actually be more loose, and not only through alcohol. Yeah. What do you guys do? How do you kind of tackle it? How do you make people feel more comfortable? Do you have, sorry for being, you know, brutal, but like, is it strippers? Is it
Be brutal.
No, because, you know, sometimes we need to be, I don't want to say cheap, but it's kind of, we need cheap tricks to get people a little bit more loose. What is your method? What is your take about it?
Look, my experience is that, I think you're right. I think alcohol is one of the biggest factors. And my personal choice is, if people have been drinking, I don't play with them. It's that simple. It inhibits their ability to make informed decisions.
Yeah.
And that's alcohol and drugs. And we found that the new people that come to the club, we make an effort to approach them, make them feel welcome, and almost are there to hold their hand and explain that, you know, for example, if they've got any questions, we welcome to join our group. Obviously, we know a lot of people. And just to make them feel welcome and that they belong there. And we found that has made a huge difference. Mm. You know, that the people, they come back to the party repeatedly, they get more used to the environment, and they become more comfortable themselves.
Because for a lot of
people, you have to walk the walk.
You have to walk it. And, you know, I think it's the same with anything. I think it's up to you as an individual to take that first step. Isn't it? Same with anything in life.
And a lot of people involved in the lifestyle end up saying it's more about the friendships than the sex.
It is. You're 100% correct. We've noticed that our circle is mainly people that are in the lifestyle. Mm.
Just simply, you can be more honest and more open with those people, even in a normal social setting.
Yeah. And there's not that judgment that you have in a situation that's not lifestyle, so to speak.
Yeah. So at the Mantopia parties, do you start out with a swinger? Do you play some games, or does it just kind of flow and develop?
It just flows and develops.
Okay.
You know, we've tried the whole aspect, and you know, to see have a stripper there you mentioned earlier, have different entertainment. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Personally, I think all the strippers are really boring.
They are.
That's my take on them.
Eric's got a different.
What? No, no, strippers. Well, I've only been to
looking at strip club once.
Yeah, where did you go?
It was in Sun City. It was weird because I didn't notice a strip club. So, like, in my mind, I wasn't mentally prepared for the fact that I'm going to see naked women and dancing on poles and stuff. Yeah. So, the whole time I was going, this is a very strange place for a guy to be. This is awkward. Like, this is what it is. I don't know if I'm allowed to make eye contact with them because then they come over and they sit on my lap and they're offering me things. And I'm like, I don't have money for this shit. It's expensive, woman. I don't have 2,400 for an hour private session. What the fuck is this?
Is that what they wanted?
That's what they wanted.
You?
Yeah.
Sure. And did you find out what the hour private session involved?
No, they had a whole list. Like they had, you know, those small cute table talkers. Yeah, they had like a small menu on the table. On the one side was all the food and stuff, and the opposite side was like lap dance, table dance, and all the shit. And I was like, nah, I'm just gonna sit here and look into my glass. That's what I'm gonna do because I had a glass.
And did you watch the strippers on the stage?
Two of them. I waited because there was one. Like, you know, as a guy, you always find the one you're like, you want to see this one naked. And then she danced and then I left. I was like, I've achieved for the evening. I'm going to go sleep now. It was weird.
Okay. Was it enjoyable?
I saw a naked chick.
Yeah?
I wouldn't say enjoyable. Like, I don't know. Because I know what I like.
Yeah.
I can't be... How do I put this? I can't be sitting in a room with people and then we all have the same... Like, it's not a matter of judgment. It's just me going, you guys are here. I don't know how many times you guys have been here. This is my first time and probably my last time.
Yeah.
You guys probably come back here on a regular basis. Like, this is your form of enjoyment, watching people dance for money. Like, no, that's not me. I'd rather entertain you in a different sense. I tell you a joke. That's me. Okay. See you naked.
So you wouldn't go back, you don't think?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not yet. But I need to be mentally
maybe
prepared.
Maybe it's strippers that makes jokes.
I think that's the thing. Because I wasn't prepared for what I saw, it put me off. But maybe if I go back in a proper mindset going, wow, we actually go.
Eric, just to clarify, how old were you?
This was last year, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were like 16 or something.
No. It was recent. It was pretty recent. Like six months ago. Yeah, actually, 6 months ago. Yeah.
Okay.
We need to talk, Eric.
This sounds like it's
going to
be
a therapy session coming for you.
Yeah. I see it too.
You walk in the store, Eric, and it just starts.
No. I mean, slowly. I don't mind.
Okay.
So far, he's going to two events.
Two? Yes.
Wait. Whoa. Two. Please. Two.
You can listen back.
I don't have data. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm listening to the show live. Like, that's what I'm doing. Double on live. I'm not even going home.
What kind of preparation would you have to do for yourself, like to go to a swingers club?
I don't know.
You need to be kind of mentally prepared.
Oh, swingers club. I thought you were saying strip club.
Or a strip club.
Okay, let's go strip club first. Okay. Swingers. Oh,
it's a different preparation.
Okay, cool. No, it's not different preparation. It just needs to be it needs to be brought up. Like, yo, man, we're going to a swingers club. And they'll be like, okay, cool, let's do it. Like, it happened by accident. We had comedy that night. Comedy ended. And there was a club behind where we were performing. There were, like, glass windows that we could see through. And we could see the dance floor. And people were having fun. And it just happened that the strip club was downstairs as well. So we walked down the stairs. And in my mind, I'm going, yes, dope music, fun times, dancing with people. And then we walked in and I'm like, this is not the same place. What is this? It actually took me 10 minutes to realize that I was sitting in a strip club. Yeah. I didn't know. I literally had no idea until I saw a titty. Then I was like... This is not kosher. This is not what Mandela fought. Okay, I get it. This is strip club.
This is not what Mandela
fought. Well, it is part of what Mandela fought for.
It is.
It's freedom of expression.
It's the freedom and it's the spectrum of human expression.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, absolutely. Like, it just needs to be a thing that that is brought up beforehand. Yeah, we're going to a strip club. Okay. So that I can go, ah, okay, let's do it. Okay.
Yeah, so, Eric, so I have a message. Sorry, John T, just one message to Eric. Eric, you know, the illusion that we all, in the beginning of our early lives, we are all craving to get to that place of understanding what is really sexuality. It's a very thin paper, my friend. Then after that, there's a whole world of exploration. So we'll talk. We will have some, we will talk.
So if
so
if we invite you to Sexpo and you come to the theater,
I was waiting for this actually.
Our sensual bondage show,
I'd watch
a squirting show. You'd watch that.
I'd watch.
Okay,
I think that's very cool. I think it'd be fun to have a squirting show.
I don't know. I'm very not naive. What's the word? I'm a very
visual.
I'm curious. There we go. Like I want. I like
well,
learning.
Curiosity is one of the most important aspects of
and
exploring
thank
your sexuality.
God, I'm not a cat. For the sake of my curiosity, I'd be dead.
Okay, so you will come and watch.
Yeah, yeah. So, am I getting tickets?
Like, so consider the invitation given.
Woo, I've got plans. Yes. When is it?
22nd of March.
No, Jess, you have to participate a few
there,
shows. It's not
there.
Serious.
I'm participating for call. I'm watching.
You'll be there for 4 days.
I have to stay there for 4 days. Can I go home?
You can go home in between and sleep.
I was worried.
Trevor, Trevor, how do you qualify to those parties? Can anybody go?
For Mantopi, it's open to any men. Mm. Obviously, we've got
you
a
don't screen or vet, or
no, we don't screen or vet. Mm. On the swinger parties, they do have a screening vetting process. So you have to have a profile, and you have to go to a verification party, which acts as a social, and then they introduce you to the club, you know, facilities, explain the rules, and that allows you to then attend the parties. Because only once you've been verified can you attend the party, and that lends itself to the safety aspect.
Mm. So what does that mean? Get verified.
It just means that you are met by one of the call it the moderators of the club, who are appointed. They have been to the club for a long time. Mm-hmm. They know what the rules are. They're known by the owners, and they then do the verification process. And it's not anything hectic. It's just they verify your profile, that you are who you say you are, and then they explain.
You have a cock. That's it.
That's not necessarily a requirement.
Or a yoni.
No, it's only men parties. You can't have a yoni, John D. Unless... that would be interesting. What would you do with a transgender?
That would have been my question, actually.
Transgender has been to the parties?
Yeah.
That's open to transgender as well.
Okay. But you know what the leveling factor is? The leveling factor is everybody has a chocolate starfish.
Exactly.
And everybody has a mouth. And everybody has hands. And let's go a little deeper. Everybody has a heart.
That's very cute.
That's just so beautiful.
That's beautiful.
But I like that.
Trevor, do you think that the fact there's no female judgment helps the exploration?
I think it does. You know, I think there's less of a requirement. I mean, I suppose whether it's same sex or not, if you're in same sex, who knows a person's body better than a person of the same gender?
No, you know, I have to disagree with that.
You disagree?
Yeah, I am.
Disagree.
Okay, I am. Simply because over the years, I have taught so many people who have sex with the same gender.
Yeah.
And they actually don't know nearly as much as you think.
They should know by now.
That they should or would know.
And that's true.
The very first time that a lesbian couple wanted to come and learn yoni massage from me, and I got really nervous, and it's like, how much do I really know about pussies? And do I really know what I think I know? And after 5 minutes, I realized...
You knew more.
That's it. Yeah. Because just because you do something lots, like as a man, just because you suck lots of cocks does not mean you know how to give an awesome blowjob.
That's true.
It just means that you do it lots.
That's true.
And a lot of people in the lifestyle do not know a lot about sex. They know what they do, and that's all that they do. Because when I first went to a club, I thought, wow, this is amazing. All these people will want to learn all these really cool things, like different massage and expanded orgasm and all the sexual stuff. They're not interested.
The case, no.
They do what they do in a very narrow channel, and they might do it with lots of people.
But it's the same channel.
That's it. And that's all they do.
And, you know, I think that does lend itself to why, you know, when we've had interactions at the club with various people, I can give you one example. There was one person that we're very good friends with them now, and they've been married for 20 years, and they'd always done the same thing, and I got permission to play with her, had her squirt. It was the first time she'd ever squirted. We saw them this year, so that's about a year break. And she came to me, she says, I still can't thank you enough. it completely changed her life and her husband's life that he can do it now as well. And she's just been like eyes wide open, you know.
And so that's amazing when people want to do that and learn. But most people in the lifestyle don't. They're happy with what they do.
Yeah.
And I have to say this. I've said it before and I've had some big discussions about it. I think a lot of people in the lifestyle are actually very closed in a lot of ways.
They are.
All that they might do is have sex with other people, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's nothing
else.
And
as a generalization, they're not that sexually open. They're not that spiritually open. They're not that politically open. They're not that religiously open. They are very, they have expanded what they do, and that's about all.
Mm. Yeah, they do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a volume exercise at the end of the day.
And that for me has always been a fascinating and a very lacking aspect.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's something that I realized quite a while ago, that the people that I was interacting with didn't have that.
Mm.
You know, that it's almost like they were spiritually dead, if that makes sense, or energetically unaware. Yeah. And I've just realized that the way that I came around that was to actually have discernment.
Mm.
So I'm very discerning with who I have interactions with, whether it's in the bondage side, whether it's in the swinger side, it doesn't matter the environment. And that allows me to have great experiences.
Because sex is actually, when you get to it, it's much more about energy. Yes. And the bodies are simply the vehicles.
Correct.
For that.
100% correct.
Yeah. I look at in my relationship and the sex that we have and the places we go to, which are literally indescribable in terms of the energy, the heart, the out-of-body experiences, the actual spiritual connection of that.
It is.
And unfortunately and sadly, so many people kind of play in the shallow end when there is this incredible world of possibility.
Yeah, there is a deep ocean out there.
Yeah, my mission is really to bring that out and to teach and heal and make that possible for everybody, because we can, all of us, have so much pleasure.
We can.
And so much intimacy and love and excitement.
100% agree.
So that's really what it's all about.
I mean, so you talk about that, having like an out-of-body experience. We were at the club the one night, and my partner had arranged for a number of people to play with me. Not in share of intercourse, but just to play. And I was tied to a four-poster bed, and I had 13 people. Just touch and...
Woohoo!
It's a lot of people.
It was.
It's a lot of people. Is the room big enough?
Yeah, it was a large space. Mm. But I was tied to the bed tomorrow, so I couldn't go anywhere. And all I remember is that there was always two people that my partner and a very good friend of mine who were there just to hold the space and just to make sure that no one intervened. And when they did that, I had that experience, they eventually, at some point, they brought ice and touched me with ice. Mm. And I actually imagined myself being in this deep lake. And when I realized that, it was almost like I was going to drown. That was me out of my body. I was gone for 4 hours. And when I came back, I could not walk. People thought I was drunk and my legs just wouldn't work. I mean, you know about energy. Mm. And yeah, it was just the most amazing experience. So yeah, wow. I support that 100%, that it's about having that.
And that's alcohol-free, and that's completely natural.
You can't go to those places with anything else.
Yes,
especially alcohol. Yeah. Alcohol is the biggest inhibitor.
Correct.
To that.
If people would know what powers sexuality has, what trip you can go on, which highs you can. Okay, it's also very, you know, it's you can go to lows as well, but most likely, you know, the spectrum of emotions and sensations and highs you can get to through sexuality, that would be quite a good, maybe it will help a few people to go to start their sexual journeys.
Yeah, but that's why we fear sexuality so much, because of the level of freedom that it will give us. But you have to transcend so many religious barriers, social barriers, your personal fears before you can go to those places. Because it will take you into the depth of yourself, and it holds up a mirror of everything that you are. The deepest shadow stuff is in your sexuality, as is the highest possibility.
Exactly. Of
who we are, the absolute magnificent beings that we are. So let's go back to philematology. Any idea what philematology might be?
It sounds like filling a hole with something.
Yeah, that's the closest we've come so far. That's the closest we've come.
English.
Philematology is the science of kissing.
What?
It's the science of kissing.
Wait, but I was that close to what? No, I had a completely different thing
yes,
in my mind.
I know what you had in your mind from what you said.
Gosh. Okay, yeah.
So it's a tongue in somebody's mouth.
Beautiful.
Philematology is the science of kissing.
You're making an assumption that it's in the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that's what philematology is about.
Oh, right.
It's mouth
okay.
to mouth.
Why? It's about kissing. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about mouth to mouth kissing. So I will tell you something, that firstly, in the exchange of saliva, there's something really mystical that happens, because it's the exchange of essence of two people, mm-hmm. like saliva and breath. So especially in Tantra and the Eastern sexual traditions, that's the exchange of essence. When I breathe you into me, I'm breathing your essence into me. And if you want a beautiful article that I wrote on kissing that has some awesome kissing tips, email me, jonty@eroslife.co.za, and I will send it to you with pleasure. It's got some incredible kissing
with
experiences
pleasure.
And tips. Absolutely with pleasure.
And that'll be kiss differently. Change your
yes.
kissing. This is something you taught me, Jonty.
Yeah, because we do the same thing every time that we do it. So think about all the people you've kissed in your life, and you kiss them in exactly the same way.
No, that's too boring.
Because, yeah, but that's the pattern, the habit, the conditioning. And we do the same thing sensually and sexually in the same way, the same pattern. So the result is always going to be the same. And that's really what it is.
Albert Einstein said, doing something the same way and expecting different outcomes, the meaning of insanity.
Iowa.
Eric, you have well such
done.
A smart...
I told you, I'm not just a pretty face.
No, man. On occasion you are impressive.
I'm a genius. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just know a lot of useless things.
The useless things are often the most important and fun in life.
Thanks,
the
John
stuff me. That we think is useful is actual bullshit more times
yes,
than not.
That's true.
Because
yes.
that's what we've been told. Free yourself from those illusions. And live lives of happiness. Trevor, where do people find information about Mantopia and the parties?
Mantopia, you can have a look on our website, mantopia.co.za, mm-hmm. as well as you can find us on Facebook.
Cool. Is there a Twitter handle?
The Twitter handle is inactive at the moment.
Okay.
We're busy working
on
that.
It's on Facebook.
On Facebook, definitely, yes.
Okay. And mantopia.co.za.
Correct.
Cool. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us. It's really been cool.
I'm going to try and grow cock in the meantime that I can go to the parties.
Well, I'm sure we know a few people who can recommend some appropriate medication for you. There might be some other side effects. And there's somebody that I know, this tall, bald guy, who I think might not be that happy with that.
Well, who knows?
Well,
I'll get him to warm up to the idea. I'll get him to warm up to the idea.
He's reasonably open, so there are possibilities.
Trevor, you have such a wonderful, sexy voice. I can't wait to meet you.
Thanks, Tamara. Likewise.
Very, very cool. Tuesday night, water massage. Sexpo coming up. And if you would like to work at Sexpo, selling DVDs on our stand, if you're an exhibitionist and you'd like to be in the theater, contact
No, don't
us.
Point at me, Trevor. Goddamn. I'm a spectator.
And what happens if we pay you? What happens if we pay
no,
you?
No, there's no amount of money. What if... No, my biggest thing is, if I
no
go to Sexpo
money,
and I work...
Sure.
No, wait. Let me elaborate. If I go to Sexpo, and like you said in the previous show I said, I think it was last week Friday, when you're like, you see somebody you know at Sexpo, it's not going to be weird for me. It's going to be weird for me interacting with them for the rest of my life.
But then it's their issue, not yours.
Yeah, don't make it.
No, but then it's going to become my issue, because they're probably going to tell my parents, and then people at church are going to know that I'm not allowed back at church. Now I have to become a Satanist. Like, it's a problem,
just
guys.
Just think, then you're free.
It's a snowball effect. No, I'm not free. Now I have other problems. Now I need to say stuff like, hell, Satan. No, I don't want to say
Eric,
that.
Eric, we're always going to be your
kidding.
Friends.
I'm
You'll
kidding.
Have new so friends.
We love you regardless.
No.
We wish you all so much pleasure. Have a wonderful weekend. CliffCentral.com.